United States to approve this. If we don't approve it, a lot of that tar sands will never be developed.
Yeah.
The world is going to realize pretty soon that we've got to limit the amount of carbon we put in the atmosphere, and it's going to have to do that via a price on carbon, and that's going to cause the most carbon-intensive things to get left in the ground, and that includes tar sands.
While the fight over Keystone and the Alberta tar sands has galvanized the environmental movement, far less attention has been paid to a related story here in the West. The state of Utah has begun making preparations to extract tar sands and oil shale from vast swaths of public and private land. According to one U.S. government report, the region could hold up to 3 trillion barrels of oil. That's more recoverable oil than has been used so far in human history. Critics say Utah is sitting on a tar sands carbon bomb. The Utah Water Quality Board recently began giving out permits for companies to extract from the state's tar sands reserves. The Grand Canyon Trust is one of several organizations fighting Utah's plans. We're joined here in Flagstaff, Arizona, by the group's energy director, Taylor McKinnon. Welcome to Democracy Now! So we have heard of tar sands in Alberta, Canada. Can you explain what's going on in Utah, Taylor?
In Utah, we have vast deposits of oil, shale, and tar sands, up to 20 billion barrels worth of oil in the tar sands deposits, and the USGS, the United States Geological Survey, estimates up to a trillion barrels of developable oil in the oil shale. These are unconventional fuels, like Alberta's tar sands. They need to be mined, melted, before they're turned into a liquid hydrocarbon. So the energy investment on the front end of their development far exceeds that of conventional oil, and as a result, the resulting carbon emissions from developing these fuels also far exceeds that of conventional oil. When we're facing climate change and the IPCC saying we have a carbon budget within which to work in coming decades, this is the exact wrong policy direction from a matter of energy and climate.
So, I mean, we've heard so much about tar sands in Alberta. Why do we hear so little about what's going on in Utah? And place it exactly for us in Utah.
We're talking about deposits that are located in the Uinta Basin in eastern Utah and into western Colorado. It's the heart of the Colorado River Basin. I think the reason we've heard more about Alberta's tar sands is because they're being developed. In Utah, the deposits are not being developed. It's prospective, and we're seeing really the onset of development, the onset of significant investment on the part of industry.
What are the telltale signs, like highways being built?
Highways are being built, publicly funded infrastructure. There's a, for example, an $80 million publicly funded road that's been punched south into the Buck Cliffs at the behest of an oil shale lobby in the state legislature in Utah. So we're seeing public investment, over 1 million acres of land, state and federal public land, available for leasing, and we're seeing the very beginnings of commercial plays, attempted commercial plays in those deposits, in the shallow deposits in the Uinta Basin.
How would they get the shale oil below? How would the equipment go in, and how would it affect the water?
Right now, the shallow deposits are being targeted, which would mean it's strip mining, much like you see mountaintop removal or other coal mining in the U.S. So we're talking about strip mining.
Yeah, isn't tourism in Utah one of its main sources of revenue?
There's a lot of tension between fossil fuel extraction, industrializing landscapes for fossil fuels, and protecting them for tourism.
Mm-hmm. What's the Grand Canyon Trust, your organization, doing?
We're engaged on a number of different fronts. In 2012, the Obama administration allocated 800,000 acres of public lands as available for oil, shale, and tar sands leasing. We're challenging that leasing framework in court and federal district court. We're also challenging several of the individual projects that are moving forward. The first tar sands lease pursued pursuant to that leasing program, in addition to oil shale projects on state land.
What are the companies that will stand to benefit?
One is Enefit American, which is an Estonian company.
A company from Estonia.
Essentially, yes. Estonia has relied on oil shale for a long time for much of their power, and they're one of the most carbon-intensive nations in the world, and they have vast pollution problems right now as a result of burning and mining oil shale. U.S. Oil Sands is one of the leading players in the tar sands in the region. They're pursuing a tar sands mining on state land. And they are on U.S. state land. They plan to take that technology and use it in Alberta. Another company is Red Leaf.
That's a U.S. company.
They are I believe American, but with Canadian interests, if not Canadian owned. These are foreign companies that are here in the U.S. On the front end of a play to try to get a foot in the door.
Total also involved.
Total is
the French company.
Allocated about $300 million in support of Red Leaf Resources, which is one of the oil shale plays that we see in the Uinta Basin.
Geographically, place this for us in Utah in terms of cities like Moab, for example.
We're talking about north of Moab and to the southeast of Salt Lake City and to the northwest of Grand Junction, Colorado.
And the residents in these areas, how divided are they?
There's division. There's also a lot of support for jobs in some of the rural communities. So the folks who stand to lose from the industrialization of these landscapes and who stand to lose from the pollution of groundwater and surface water are opposed to it. So some of the ranchers around there are opposed to it. But people who want the jobs are often for it.
Compare this to the area of tar sands in Alberta, Canada. The size?
The oil shale deposits in terms of barrels are larger. In terms of the barrels of oil are larger than Alberta's tar sands. They're not as accessible. And that's good
requiring
news.
More energy.
Requiring more energy to get at. And that energy investment thus far has precluded them from being commercially viable. But as supplies of conventional oil wane, we see, as in Alberta, more and more investment being put towards these more energy-intensive and carbon-intensive unconventional fuels.
Where does the Bureau of Land Management stand and President Obama himself?
The BLM and President Obama have allocated about 800,000 acres of public lands as available for oil shale and tar sands leasing. There are conditions imposed on when a lease can be let, but those lands are available. And as a matter of climate and energy policy, it's difficult to reconcile that with our climate goals.
Taylor, I want you to stay with us in this next segment as we move on to the issue of uranium mining, particularly on Native lands, and we'll speak with a Native American activist, Klee Benally, as well. This is Democracy Now! We're broadcasting from Northern Arizona University in Flagstaff, Arizona. Stay with us.